Good morning, Seedbed. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Tim and Julie Tennant, and we are so delighted and we're humbled to bring before you this psalm on this day, April 13th, Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of the most important week of the Christian year, Holy Week. And so we bring together this day with Psalm 45.
You know, Psalm 45 is one of those psalms that the first time, and maybe even the second time we encountered it, I didn't know what to do with it because I didn't know how to relate to a psalm that was all about the preparation of a king getting married and waiting for his bride and all the talks about the robes being fragrant with myrrh and cinnamon and the palaces adorned with all kinds of things. And I just thought, what in the world does this have to do with our prayer book and the worship book of God? I just had no idea how to frame this psalm in my mind. And the more we sang it and studied it and thought about it, the more precious it has become. The opening line is, "My heart is stirred by a grand, noble theme." And I realized this is not just about a wedding. It is about a wedding, but it's not just about a wedding. It is a grand theme, an expansive theme of the theme of the marriage of heaven and earth, of Christ and his bride. And Tim's going to talk about that, just the wider frame which this psalm points us to. And it's actually a beautiful psalm for Palm Sunday.
Amen. Bob Stamps used to say, the incarnation is the knot that ties heaven and earth. And so the whole purpose of Holy Week, as we shall see, is the marriage of heaven and earth is culminated in this sacred week. So let's look at this devotion as we think together about Psalm 45. The whole creation begins and ends with a marriage. The creation of the world begins with Adam and Eve, who become the progenitors of the whole human race. And of course, the culmination of the ages, of all time, of all human history will culminate in another great wedding, the wedding of Christ and his church, known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's Revelation 19. And this is not only the symbolic wedding of heaven and earth that all of church history anticipates, but it's a reminder that the end of the world is really the beginning of a new and even more glorious chapter for the people of God. Just as the creation of Adam and Eve into a one-flesh relationship marked the beginning of the whole history of humanity, so the marriage of Christ and his church will mark the beginning of the new creation. This is why marriage is such an important, great doctrine in the life of the church, because the whole of redemption is framed around it. Now, Psalm 45 foreshadows this great theme. On its most basic level, it's a song written to celebrate the marriage of the king to his bride, as Julie noted earlier. But on a deeper level, it reminds us that marriage has always been a sacrament, that is, an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. The anticipated marriage between heaven and earth was foreshadowed in many smaller ways, like the giving of the law or the building of the temple with the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. But in the end, it cannot be found in stone tablets or the impressive architecture of the temple. In the end, it had to be personal. The Lord of glory stepping into time and space, known as the incarnation. Incarnation, of course, means in the flesh. And there's nothing that really captures that foreshadowing better than human marriage is the great pointer to the great marriage of Christ and his church. The book of Hebrews begins by recalling all the past ways that God has spoken to his people. But now, at the climax of the ages, he has sent his son into the world. Hebrews 1 breaks into a cacophony of praise dedicated to the celebration of the incarnation, and the praise begins with a quotation from this psalm, from Psalm 45. "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." That's Hebrews 1, 8 and 9, quoting Psalm 45, 6 and 7. In its original setting in the Psalms, the king is only the symbol, the regent, the representative of God. But in Hebrews, it's clear that that earthly king finds his fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfills this image because he is God in the flesh. And even the Father in heaven addresses Jesus as God in this passage. It's amazing. In Jesus Christ, God himself steps into human history and becomes the bridge that finally unites all of heaven and earth into one great consummation of praise. So what began in the incarnation is culminated in Holy Week, and then someday reach its final consummation in the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that it's Palm Sunday, I mean, this week is going to usher in the actual passion of Christ on the cross. And really, the cross becomes the place where Jesus is betrothing his bride to himself in this ultimate sacrifice of love. And so what a psalm to open up Palm Sunday and the beginning of Holy Week as we think towards this this great marriage that Christ is going to purchase with his own blood before the week is out. So we'll sing this wedding psalm, Psalm 45, to the tune of Toulon. That probably means nothing to you, but there's a hymn in our hymnals called I Greet Thee, Who My Sure Redeemer Art. It may not be one of the more familiar hymns, but it's a wonderful tune, and that's the tune we'll use for this great psalm. Psalm 45.
My heart is stirred by our grand noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is like a skillful writer's pen as it stands ready to recite and sing. You are most excellent of men e'er sung. Since God blessed you, your lips are full of grace. Gird your sword on your side, O mighty one. Be clothed with majesty, splendor embrace. In majesty ride forth in victory. Let your right hand display your awesome deeds. With righteousness, truth, and humility. Ride forth in majesty victoriously. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of foes. Let all the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forevermore. Justice will be the scepter that you keep. You love true righteousness and evil hate. So God, your God, has set you over all. He has anointed you in splendor great, and with the oil of joy above them all. All of your robes are fragrant with the smell of myrrh and cinnamon and aloes too. From palaces adorned with ivory well, music of strings brings gladsome joy to you. Daughters of kings are with your women here. At your right hand, your bride in ophir gold. Listen, O daughter, ponder and give ear. Forget your people and your whole household. The king's enthralled by beauty that you bear. So honor him, for he's your lord indeed. Tyre's daughter comes with gifts for you most fair, and men of wealth will come your grace to seek. All glorious is the princess in her room. Her gown is woven with the finest gold. Led to the king in beauty she'll come soon. With her companions he will her behold. There led with joy and gladness to the king. Brought in procession to this palace grand. In place of fathers, you their sons will bring. You'll make them princes all throughout the land. I'll cause your name to last in memory. All generations will remember, sure. Peoples will therefore praise you joyfully, always, forever, and forevermore.
Amen. And sometime you ought to take a moment to read the Marriage Supper of the Lamb and the great revelation of the bride in Revelation chapter 19. What a great truth that this psalm points to.
You know, and as we sang verse 4, I was just thinking about Palm Sunday. Listen to this, verse 4. In majesty, ride forth in victory. Let your right hand display your awesome deeds. With righteousness, truth, and humility, ride forth in majesty, victoriously. Mm. It's that picture of Christ entering on the donkey, as yes. Zechariah prophesied, in humility, humble and coming, and yet with righteousness and with majesty, as That's he cool. enters the city on Palm Sunday.
So, friends, today, of course, is the beginning of Holy Week, which leads us on the path to the cross. Let's remember that in a mysterious way, that sacrifice, which we anticipate this week, is deeply embedded in the sacrificial love of the bridegroom purchasing his bride as the ultimate act of laying down his life for her. This is the very language that Paul uses in Ephesians 5. As the icon of marital love, we lay down our lives. How fitting for this wedding psalm to be the psalm for this day as we begin the journey of this Holy Week to the cross.
The Lord bless you as you travel through this week to the cross and
Amen.
Beyond.
Amen. Amen. Blessings.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.